I'm Scott Poole from University of Illinois, and when I was asked to do this presentation, it offered me an opportunity to reflect, because I'm actually not a real deep student of team science, but I've participated in a lot of team science things over the years, in which groups of interdisciplinary scholars have had to figure out how to work together. And I also had, and I'm in the Department of Communication at University of Illinois, and I also had the Institute for Computing in the Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences at Illinois, which brings together social scientists, humanists, engineers, and scientists to engage in interdisciplinary projects. And so when I was invited to give this talk, it offered me a really interesting chance to kind of reflect on how some of these things happen. And the first thing I did was I cast about for what's a useful theoretical model or model of looking at these team science interactions that could possibly be ported into the study of team science, because I think right now, as several speakers have mentioned, we're much in need of theories. We need concepts and models that direct our attention at certain aspects of the phenomenon and perhaps away from other aspects of the phenomenon. And one particular framework that I found to be very useful is the multi-team system model. This model was articulated by Matthew, Marks, and Zaccaro, and there's the citation here at the bottom of the page. And there's a very nice, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to a conference on multi-team systems held at University of Central Florida, and there's a book coming out of that, and I think Leslie DeChurch is one of the editors is here. Maybe she'll present later today. But this model is not my own, and so the first three slides or four slides are I'm just going to shamelessly steal from their article. Now, what a multi-team system is it's a system in which you have a network of teams. Formally, they define it as two or more teams that interface directly and work on the accomplishment of collective goals. All teams in the MTS pursue different proximal goals, immediate goals, but they're kind of unified under a larger, common, shared distal goal. And each team exhibits input, process, and output interdependencies with at least one other team in the system. Here's a picture from the original article of a multi-team system. You notice that this is for handling severely injured accident systems. Firefighters and EMTs work together with the transport systems to bring them into the emergency room, where then the surgeons and the recovery teams work on them. Now you notice that this assemblage also includes two other groups of teams that support that. So when you think about multi-team systems, one of the first things you begin to think about is how the team structures overlap with each other. The second thing you can think about in considering this is a temporary system. It exists just as long as the event that it's handling exists, and it's dynamically then going to rearrange itself at a later period of time. Now, there is interdependence in MTSs, and this is the definition that they give of functional interdependence. There's three kinds of interdependence. First of all, there's input interdependencies, the extent to which the teams share input, such as people, facilities, equipment, information. There's also outcome interdependence. And by the way, input interdependence largely deals with how the teams pursue their proximal goals, their immediate small little goals that they're focusing on. But then outcome interdependence is the extent to which the outcomes depend upon the performance of other teams and how they coordinate with each other. That deals with the more distal, larger goal of the project. And there's also process interdependence, which is the amount of inter-team interaction required for goal accomplishment. And there's a scheme there of different kinds of interdependence that could be used, which I won't go into right now. This is a diagram of the interdependencies in that multi-team system that I showed you at the beginning. And so what it sort of implies is that to have an effective multi-team system, one of the things you got to be aware of is what are your interdependencies, you know, drawing a map of it. How do you align those so that they meet your goals properly? Now, another thing about MTSs is that they have hierarchies of goals. As I already mentioned, at the top you have the collective goal of the entire endeavor. Then within that, you might have a couple of teams engaging in subsystem goals. And then at the bottom, you'll have team goals. And I should have put one more bullet there, individual member goals, like finishing a dissertation or something like that within the context of this. These goals are executed in performance episodes. And the way that that Matthew et al. Talk about this is in terms of multitasking, where teams switch among different episodes. There would be an example of the goal hierarchy for the emergency team. Now, what this kind of implies is that when you're structuring a interdisciplinary project as a multi-team system, you need to think about your hierarchy of goals, and you specify it, and you make sure that the goals align with each other and they don't contradict. There might be a look at how the task episodes go over time, and that's only for a single team that's multitasking. What's useful about this, I think, is that it points our attention to the fact that interdisciplinary research, or science of team science, is going to be a process that goes over time. And we can't study it as though it was static. We have to look at how the different tasks hook together over time. Now my theft stops, and I'll begin to talk about how this model might apply to the multi-team system. I think this is a very nice framework because it deals with large projects, which, as Joanne illustrated and as several of the other ones do, team science very often is. It gives us a vocabulary for acting, for talking about them. You know, for me, theory is important because it directs our attention at certain things. It directs our attention here at goal hierarchies, interdependencies, episodic performance of tasks, and how these all interleave with each other over time. But another nice thing about this model, and you know, also you can almost see an evolving network of teams over time, where teams form for a while, they dissolve, they reform around different things, and so you have a kind of dynamism that's encouraging here. But the other nice thing about this model is it has a normative aspect, because it directs our attention not only to certain concepts, but it has principles in it that imply this is how you do an effective multi-team system. Make sure you've mapped your interdependencies, and you know all of them, and you've handled them properly. Make sure your goal hierarchies are not inconsistent with each other, and that you're not rewarding different things at different levels of the hierarchy, or things will slip up. Joanne was telling us a lot of instances where that happened. In addition to this, it says make sure that, in addition to this, the theory, and I'll come back to this at the end, argues that there are four key drivers of effective multi-team systems. Whether they're the same for the kind of teams that Matthew et al. Deal with and for team science is an interesting issue. And that brings me to my question. To what extent does this model extend to scientific teams? This model has been largely articulated around a type of team that Sundstrom et al. Call action teams. They're teams that, like, if you're hurt in an accident and an ambulance team comes and picks you up and takes you to the hospital, that's an action team. They're teams in which everybody has a specialized role, but those roles all have to fit together very nicely for it to work. They really have to coordinate. They have very brief performance events with a clear beginning and end. They tend to rely on recognition prime decision making, which is the kind of decision making that you do where you look for cues in a situation and you have a repertoire of actions that you've trained very carefully around. And based on those cues, you pick one. It's like a deck of cards you shuffle through and you pull the card out and you exert the action. And then finally, they have very clear goals. Now, scientific teams are more like what Sundstrom would call project and development teams. Now, having said that, let me make one qualification. There are a number of times that scientific teams are action teams. You know, when you're running a sequencing, you know, that's action. That's something that kind of falls back in this realm. But over the longer term, scientific teams probably more accurately resemble what we call project development teams. They have high role specialization. They have lower integration needs. People don't have to work. There's a lot more room for slippage in most of what they do. Their performance is extended over time. They tend to reflectively make decisions and solve problems. And their goals are much more ambiguous. Now, the issue then becomes, is this a good framework for thinking about these longer term things? I think there are some clear similarities, and I pointed them out, listed them here. I think there's a couple of other things we need to take into account, and that is the fact that teams, scientific teams, have more fluid team arrangements, and their goals are also a lot less clear. I don't know about you guys, but when I do scientific projects, sometimes I think I know my goal, and then partway through I realize that that wasn't really my goal. You know, the real fruits are going to come if I redefine the goal. And so we have to allow for that, and that renders that concept of goal hierarchy a little problematic, but also invites us to think about it in interesting ways. Now, I thought the reason that I thought this worked for me is because it allowed me to understand to some extent a project I'm now involved in. And I'll present this as a very brief case study and just kind of conclude quickly. We have a project called the Virtual Worlds Observatory Project that I'm involved in with NOSH Contractor, who's also here. It studies behavior in virtual worlds, and we have downloads of data from EverQuest 2 and Second Life, which we analyze. The companies have given them to us. We can follow teams, for example, in those worlds. We also sometimes give surveys, and we're doing experiments. Our PIs are at four different institutions, Northwestern, USC, Minnesota, and Illinois. And we have teams of graduate students and postdocs at each of those institutions, plus connections to scholars at other institutions. We have currently four funded projects, each with a different goal. NSF wants to understand behavior in virtual worlds. The Army Research Institute wants to understand teamwork and networks. Air Force Research Institute wants us to understand how we can identify real-world characteristics by how people act in these worlds. And Bolt, Baranek, and Newman wants us to run experiments. These kind of represent, but what we do is we put all the resources in one big pot. And so it's, in essence, a big superordinate goal to understand the project, but then we have four subordinate goals, and within each of those, drilling down to the teams that are engaged in the project. We have teams that form around individual projects, and these are typically headed by a graduate student, but unlike your teams, we have our PIs have to be on the teams, and we meet with them once a week, and we typically the teams work virtually, and we come together two or three times a year for an all-hands meeting. And we also have a PI team that coordinates and generates a strategic direction. To me, this maps onto the multi-team system notion very cleanly. And, you know, it's going to operate differently than action teams do, but I think it has great potential. One of the things I realized in doing this is that we never defined our interdependencies. And I'm going to try to do that because it could lead to some problems later on. Should practice what I preach. And there's some other issues that come along here. In any case, I think this is a high potential model, and I think it could very easily be adapted to the study of team science. Now, in closing, I'd mentioned that the authors defined four factors that shape effectiveness: shared mental models, certain kinds of leadership characteristics, information technology, and reward systems. I would submit that those are not a bad place to start for looking at some of the things that make these systems effective. Thank you very much.